blah, 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 blah. See, I'm singing it just off of time, so it's horrible. Everything that could be bad musically. I'm atonal, I'm off the beat, but I can dance. You weren't expecting that from the chubby white man. Dance like an angel. Everyone, it is Papa's Basement. I'm John Papagiorgio, your host, hence the show's weird name that is so off-putting. My mom came to me last week. She's like, you need to change the show name.
Why?
Because Papa's Basement sounds weird.
Because when you have a product for 11 years, you should change the name.
Well, I think, you know, Coke went up 3% when they did that,
you,
like,
Maria,
grab bag thing where you could buy Cokes that had names on it and crap. And according to my mom's logic, Coke should have just rebranded as Toper or Ping Pong or whatever the hell else that isn't Coke, because that's what you do. And I explained to her after she, I think she wanted to call it like Papa's Hang or something like that.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
First of all, that sounds like I would do great with the Stormfront kids and the various, you know, white power folks. But
yeah,
once they discovered that wasn't the crux of the show and that I'm 1/32nd Jewish and the rest of my bloodline is questionable at best.
Oh, God, as soon as they find that out, John, done.
I'm like a quarter Turkish or some garbage, you know, just
Greeks horrible. Are basically African in their view, right? Like, you guys are just...
Oh, well, yeah. Do you want me to bust out my Hitler knowledge, my history major knowledge? So, when the war started and they first invaded Greece, they were like, dude, this is Greece, this is the cradle of democracy, this is Western civilization right here. And by the end of the war, they're like, these are mountain Jews. Kill them on sight.
What?
They are of horrible bloodlines, and pretty much if you shoot them, it's like killing a goat. Just do it.
I still remember your dad telling stories, because he remembers some of World War II.
That's how old my dad was, yeah.
Yeah, and I just remember this one story he told me of, I forget where the guy was from, but there was this soldier on the island who was in the Allied forces who just... He collected the ears of Nazis and made a necklace out of it.
Yeah.
He was like, because I remember your dad was just like, I love people from this country because, like, that's the kind of thing they do to taunt Nazis is to have, like, a necklace of.
Yeah. There was some guy who was like, good eye, mate. And it was just literally a huge. I'm not picturing, like, a conservative, like, a woman with her pearls necklace where it was just, like, eight ears. Like, I'm picturing, like a wrestling prop, like just down to his belly button, Mr. T chain of kraut ears.
Oh, so, gosh. Yeah,
there was that story. There was the initial invasion where he was a dumb little six-year-old, so he thought it was like umbrellas coming down from the sky, and he's like, why are they dropping umbrellas on us? And then it turned out to be a paratrooper invasion. And then
I thought you were going to say pamphlets or something, but no, it's pretty bad, huh?
No, it was, they had to invade because Greece was such a mountainous toilet. They just did a paratrooper thing, and they lost so many people, it was the only time they ever attempted that, because the average farmer would just, like, walk up and be like, pitchfork!
You'd figure they would just let the Italians.
The Italians went in and, like, literally were repelled by just the Greek Evzo. Yes, that, exactly. Their horrific feta farm.
Like, all this salt.
Yes. So the Italians, you know, known fighters, those Italians, like, really the only Italian fighter was Rocky. That was outside of that, known for banging and having chest hair, but not combat. So they left, the Germans came in. And the third story he told was like the one German soldier who wasn't a piece of crap, like fed them in the village. I guess they were starving, fed him some chocolate out of their rations. And he was just like, this is poison. We're not going to touch it. And 2 hours later, they're just like, I don't care. I'm a kid. I'm hungry. This is chocolate. And they all of his brothers and sisters are eating this crap like zombies on brains, just mashing it in their face. All right, everyone. We have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking the Super Bowl, the Eagles Super Bowl win.
Speaking of Rocky.
Yes, exactly. The Rocky steps. Up until now, the greatest hero of Philadelphia was a fictional boxer. Let that sink in.
Such a great joke. So classic.
We've got Sam in studio. Sam, who works here. Sam Ol Rogers. What's up, buddy? Sam from Philly. When did you move from Philly?
I've had a military background. Not me personally, but my father. And we moved from Philly when I was barely but 5 years old. But I was born in the city, and I do take care to admire all their sports teams, minus baseball.
There you go. And he moved. Wait, why not?
Oh, I just don't care for the sport.
Oh, okay.
Damn.
That works for me. So you moved from Philadelphia to Waldorf, what I like to call the Philadelphia of Maryland.
A few places in between, but yeah, I ended up in Waldorf.
There you go. We've got Howard Flood in, talking football.
Yeah, yeah, glad to be here.
Howard did an amazing one-man podcast the other day.
We should post the link off to my SoundCloud experiment.
We will.
It will one day end up on a website, but for now, yeah, I'm getting feedback from my boys. So.
I was jerking it just to the content, where you did a really great breakdown on why Tom Brady is not, like, the GOAT. And why he really doesn't even belong.
Lack of horns, mentioned. For one.
Yes, there's that. Yeah. His, actual standard circular pupils as opposed to those weird horizon things that the goat got going on.
It's meant to, like, watch for predators.
It's creepy. Yes. Yeah.
I guess depending on how much we talk Super Bowl, we can go into that. But I know this is not a real football show. We're doing more of the cultural side of
is the other
Super
one really,
Bowl,
though?
Right?
The other one isn't either. And Pete maybe over there. What up, Pete?
What's going on, guys? I'm not bitter about Pete. That other show.
No, it's all good. I got to say, that Super Bowl was everything I wanted it to be. Now, I'm sorry. I walked in with one thing in mind. Yeah, the Eagles are in the NFC East. They play the Skins twice a year. That's going to be a very bad thing for the Redskins for a good 10 to 12 years. But it's one of those deals where it's like finding out if you get cancer, it'll scare off your AIDS. To see the Patriots playing the Eagles, where you're just like, I go lesser of two evils. Because I don't know if I've mentioned this explicitly on air before.
That it was like watching a presidential race.
No, well, no, I didn't hate Hillary like most people did, where they're like, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for the lesser of blah, blah, blah. I had a very vivid, like, you and I went to Harlem last year.
Yes, we did.
To watch the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The plan was we were going to see the Super Bowl, crash with a former friend of ours, and then go to Sirius XM the next day to watch Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara talk about their Schitt's Creek show. I get to say that, by the way. That's a little workaround. I don't have to bleep this.
No. I hear the CH.
Yeah, the Schitt's.
There you go.
Creek.
Yeah.
That is the name of the show.
That is the name of the show. Schitt's Creek. So I'm just saying it, man.
That, Miriam.
I love Miriam. I don't want her in trouble. They get to call it Schitt's Creek all over the place. That's the whole gag. Get it, Schitt's Creek. Yeah.
Put a C in front of the H.
S-C-H-I. And there's a second T.
Like some producers running back home with money bags and be like, I got away with it.
It's F-U-C-H. It works. So we watched that game. I remember very vividly some Italian girl from Boston who was next to us. And right around halftime was just screaming at the half-gentrified, half-black crowd we had in the bar. Why are you
barely half gentrified?
What?
I said barely half gentrified.
Oh, you thought it was more black than white?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
It is Brooklyn.
No, it was Harlem.
Harlem.
It was Harlem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. It was supposed to be incredibly black. It was not. There's the white guy literally taking a picture with every black person he could find.
Oh my god, that guy was wild.
Dude, he's still my Facebook
friend.
This
tiny little
people. Was like,
oh, I don't know if we're Facebook friends.
Paul McCartney's Live and Let Die playing subtly in the background.
He had
the world's tiniest ponytail.
Yes, he had like the guy from Live in that like I Alone video had that little weird Krishna ponytail. He had that. It was so creepy.
He looked like that thing from American Horror Story, like with the misshapen head, the girl that, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Like, and she's got like a little
Kathy Bates
ponytail right at the top. She almost looks like she's got like a shrunken head and her teeth are all jacked up. I don't know. This guy, he was just absolutely wild.
He was
Facebook friending everyone in the bar.
Of gentrification. Yeah, like, literally just, like, hashtagging all the photos. Because I friended him. He was like, can I be your Facebook friend? I'm like, why not? You know? Yeah. And
has his ponytail grown since? You're still friends with him, right?
It looks the same.
I am not.
Weird.
Yeah. It has not aged. He has not aged. Maybe he's some sort of witch of Harlem.
He was like pushing
the
essential
oils.
You
have to wear a ponytail as a man, but you get to live forever.
Yeah, and in New York at a livable rate. I would do it.
Schitt's Creek trade.
So this girl is screaming. Like, that was the highlight, because they're up 21-3, I think, at this point. And she's just like, why are you all cheering? You don't even like the Falcons. You just hate the Patriots. And I'm like, you do not understand human nature, you dumb bitch.
Yeah, hit the nail on the head, babe.
And she disappeared, and I was like, this is amazing. She ran off. That's how bad this was for her. And then she came back in the fourth quarter, watched the entire collapse of the Falcons. We were so messed up over it. Like, you know me, I don't drink much. I drank my goddamn face off that night.
Oh, yeah.
And I woke up like 3 hours later, 5 a.m, and I'm just like, we're going home, man.
We didn't get any sleep either. Yeah.
It was just after a fetid hellhole in that apartment. It was the radiator blasting. I'm like, the hell with this. We're going home. And I don't think the funk of that wore off until about week 10 or 11 of this football season. Like, that is how disgusted I was watching Tom Brady in his bitch soccer mom coat that he wore before this superb owl taking that win from the Falcons.
Yes, we are making subreddit jokes.
Yes, not that I even care about the Falcons that much. That's just, I know, Howard, you come from a different place. I hate seeing someone who's just on top and with that level of ego and unlikability do it again.
I never said that I want to see them succeed every year. I am personally that person who doesn't want to see someone that suffers in misery. Sorry, but like a city like Atlanta and Philadelphia that has never won the Super Bowl, I'm like, I still want you to not have won a Super Bowl. That's how I go into these things if they've never been.
That's a
if it was the Saints this year.
Even my heart doesn't have.
If it was the Saints this year, I would have been rooting for the Saints this year because I'm like, well, they already won once. Their fans are already insufferable because they won 10 years ago.
So like, if
I just don't want more NFL fans who can like just act as if they're the greatest team of all time. There's just a group of NFL teams where I'm like, you've never won.
So you watched the 40-year-old virgin, and anytime he even came close to getting some, you were screaming like no.
You're a virgin? That's the way it's
going to happen. Stay that way. You die.
Absolutely. I wanted it to become a TV show. It could have been called the 40-year-old virgin for several seasons.
Oh, like, man.
No, then it's just over at the end because he has sex twice.
Mm-hmm. You sound like a hiring manager.
To this day, he's not allowed within 50 feet of Steve Carell. His hand keeps slapping his dick away.
So I went into this game not so much rooting for the Eagles, just like literally you could have fielded a team of the 19 guys that attacked the Pentagon and the World Trade Centers. And I would have been like, go team Death to America.
Wow.
Because you know what? I'm not putting up with Brady having 6 rings.
Hear this, Trump.
Like, really?
And they all get invited to the White House.
It honestly could have been quarterback Donald Trump, the 9/11 hijackers, and, that rapper Snow.
Ted Kaczynski.
Like, just all of that.
As the kicker.
Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah, he's still alive. Yeah, he could do it.
Yeah, we could have had the ghost of Jack the Ripper.
Completely acceptable.
Yeah.
Coordinate defense.
And, yeah, nose tackle Adolf Hitler.
Slaughter them!
Like, I wouldn't have cared. Just don't let them win. I don't want that.
That would have been cool, honestly.
So, I went into the Super Bowl with that mentality. Sam, you're a Philly guy.
Yes, sir.
And you got to do, by the way, what I was robbed of doing a couple years ago, which is watch the Super Bowl in the city of the team. I missed out when the Ravens were there, did not go to Baltimore. And after seeing what went down in Philly, I will never do that. I'll never miss that again. Like, if it's within like a 4-hour radius, Howard, I know you've got like a wife and a kid and things to not die for.
Right.
I've just got my mom and my cats. Like, I will never miss that again because...
Or at least in Philadelphia.
Oh, I'll always be at Philadelphia.
There we go.
I'll not miss that. I want to know after that win, and we'll talk the game in a minute, but what was it like, dude, being in that city? At what point did they truly just lose their marbles? Was it like a win?
It was immediately. It took me a sincere minute or two. I had to pick myself off the ground. I was very much just...
Emotionally
overwhelmed and stone drunk.
I was thinking.
It was a good mix. I remember having champagne being sprayed on me, and it was like, maybe I should get off the bar floor, like, and make my way through the city.
You can do that in that town, by the way. Yeah, you're totally like allowed to just sleep on the bar floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an unknown rule about Philadelphia. If you, as long as you take off your shoes and pants.
Yeah, because in Arlington, I was totally kicked out for putting my head on the bar.
Yeah. No. I understand Arlington rules. Those are,
Arlington. Yeah, that's literally just.
Some it wasn't me actually. It was my date.
There's some strict bastards in that city.
Yeah. I remember lighting up one time in Arlington, I guess after they had done the you can't smoke here anymore.
Oh, I've done that, yeah.
And they tapped me on the shoulder, like, get out of here. I'm like, what? Oh, no smoking? Sorry. And I put it out. Like, literally, I had one beer, and they pretty much tossed me out like I was the world's messiest drunk. I'm like, you know what? I will never be back to this Clarendon ballroom. And where were the ball gowns?
I'm going back to Patriots, damn it. Yeah,
exactly. So you were getting sprayed on by an exotic dancer named Champagne.
Yes.
And what? You're in the bar for how long before you're like, I need to join the zombie throngs on the street?
I think the worst part was the bar manager had some sort of competition where you pick the ending scores, like whether it ends at a 3 or 1, mm-hmm. something like that. And I never stuck around to see, because whoever got the final game like walked off with $500. But I think everybody was just so excited to, you know, get out on the streets that that bar was empty within, you know, a minute or two. I don't think that bartender lost any money.
Amazing.
So we get out onto the streets immediately, and it's full immediate effect. I think the game ended around 9:40, 10 o'clock, and it's when everybody just started to congregate outside.
Mm-hmm.
You flip over any cores, yo?
Any cores?
You flip over any cars, yo?
I flipped over a few beer bottles, but
tight. Cores.
Like, yeah. I want you, because I'm having just such a problem wrapping my head around that. Like, an event so big where you're like, whatever venue we're in right now, this is too small for it. Like, we have to unify, like, we're doing some Bollywood dance number and just pour into the streets of our city. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. That is, so you run outside, everyone else is running outside.
Yes, so I run outside and puke immediately.
Nice. celebratory.
The bartender was...
That's good.
The bartender made a deal with the patrons that every time the Eagles had scored, we would get a free shot, and the Eagles scored 7 times.
That's amazing.
Along with the beer that I had been consuming, I had 7 shots and a fifth of Jim Beam in my coat.
But these were cheap shots, right? He wasn't giving you...
No.
It was Blue Label Howard.
Yeah, it was called the Philly Special, ironically enough.
God. He's just got a tub in the back. Yeah.
So we get out of the streets. I puke. My roommate assures that I'm still living, and I go on as if this is the greatest night of my life, which is one of them, probably.
Yeah.
So I said, there's no way I'm missing any of this, and we go out into the city and celebrate. And that's pretty much it. I don't remember.
But like, what does the celebration... You've already left a bar.
I see him trying not to get arrested.
Yeah, are you just in the streets? Like, isn't this great for the next
remember.
6 hours?
They'd have a difficulty dragging me through the rest of the throng.
Like, do you just get to grab breasts?
Yes, if you were close enough. Like, there's free titty touching down Broad Street. And if you were down Benjamin Franklin Parkway, you could get to second base.
Wow.
Nice.
So you run out, you vomit,
yes.
And how long were you out on the streets? Like, you're 10 p.m., you're on the streets. Is this like...
Oh, 5 hours.
And by the way, I mean, I already know, but like, what's second base?
That's like...
What's a Philly second
gently
base?
Gently stroking the
what's
hair,
a Philly
right?
Philly second base is unprotected anal. Anal cream pie, man, yeah.
Dang, yo. That's tight.
Third base.
I'm
you
wetter
get to
than
film
the
it.
Schuylkill River.
Whoa.
Wow. So 5 hours.
Yeah,
of like...
no. There was a lot of fireworks. Immense struggle to destroy as much city property as we could. Yeah.
What about vandalism? Because that's always like my vision of Philadelphia after the Super Bowl victory.
People wanted to, you know, where were the police officers while we were... doing our best, destroying Ritz-Carlton property and tearing down light poles from the corner of the streets. Let me tell you, the police were holding the ropes with us. They were just as big as part of the celebration.
I think I saw some videos of that where they were like, "Yeah, we did it! Yeah, we did it!"
They
just fired off their gun. Yeah.
Whoa! All right. Like they'll
like at some Afghani wedding, just unloading in the air.
Like, yeah, I think they all just agree. They were like, they will tucker themselves out. And you just have to persevere.
There was not enough paper in the city of Philadelphia to fill out what had been done.
We don't live there. I've never lived there, but I know full well if I were in Philadelphia when the Eagles were playing in the Super Bowl, there's a lot of events during which you have to know in Philadelphia, move your car outside the city. This is not a day to be parked on the curb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was in a parking garage. I had to pay $80, but
they were
$80 well spent.
Yeah, you're not paying insurance deductible to get your window fixed.
I would have tipped $100 on top of that. Good day to you, sir. No, there was one of the first things I saw tweeted was a car that had Tom Brady sucks just spray painted on the side.
Yeah.
And of course, the great caption was like, "Did the driver do this thing?" Save me the cost of paint, yo.
Fortunately, valet was nothing more than, you know, Jewish mountain goats. So, like, if I were to tip them, they'd probably just steal my wallet.
Oh, that's fine, man. That's fine. Again, worth it. Just the feel-goodness of that event. Like, it's like the entire city had a baby. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't fathom it because this is just such a feel-bad city. Like, we don't know what goodness feels like. Washington, D.C. is just a land of disappointment. But, like, I don't know, man. There's something extra special about it being Philly, which I'm going to level with you is, like, the one strand of white person who knows what, like, racial prejudice is. Like, when people talk about Philly people, it's the way, like, racist people talk about blacks. Like, let's be honest. They're just
I got plenty of battery jokes on my way up.
Yeah, it's just, like...
Be like, Santa Claus is already done for the year.
I mean, the instant that win went down, it was just Twitter and Facebook like, those filthy savages are going to tear apart their city. They don't know it. I was like, this is the one time I've heard a lot of these terms get thrown around and it's aimed at like Italians, you know, just it isn't some sort of MAGA thing. Like, it's just they truly hate white people for once. That's progress. We've healed as a nation.
Jeez.
But
Philadelphia's won a championship.
But like
racism is over.
Yes, yeah. 5 hours. Like, was it just not? Were people pouring you drinks in the streets? Is it girls making out with you? Or people having sex in public? Like, tell me, man. Like,
oh, well, there was plenty of things to consume. More than just drinks. So the evening went by.
What was the highest end drug that was presented for free?
Oh well, I didn't.
You didn't. That's
I didn't
cool.
partake in anything that I didn't have already on me.
I wasn't going
over to Philly Steve, who's eating shit off the floor, saying, "Hey, man, do you have the LSD? Because I know you got to be tripping off of that shit."
No, I picture you just pulling out your smack balloon from your ass, but...
Only on Tuesdays.
But, I mean, were people like... chopping lines? Like, what did we have? What was the buffet?
How do you chop lines? How do you stand still enough to chop?
Yeah, I don't.
I'm sorry.
I don't think there's
enough
room.
It's called getting a bump, and you put it right here in the little space between your thumb and
the taint of the hand.
Your hand taint. I'd like to. I'm sorry.
Your bump taint, man.
But I think
y'all ain't never bumped.
That's the one place and way that I can see Philly being classy. Like some guy. Pulls out like a Mr. Belvedere silver serving dish and he's just able to chop lines holding this thing on one hand and everyone like queues up real orderly to take like little baby, you know.
Here to partake, my lady.
Thank you, sir, for the crack.
Exactly.
I mean, no offense, I don't really see Philly as like a Coke town. That's definitely like a place where you...
It's in the wrong place.
Weed is okay there. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just weed as legal cool. in this city.
Do you see it as an H-town? I mean, I see it as an H-town.
I'm just saying, like, nobody's going to be offering, like, hey, you should snort coke off this hooker's tit. It's more of
yes.
a, like...
Hey, yo.
It's one of those, passing around a crack pipe situations, man. It's like, who wants to smoke some crack? Yes. That's kind of an image of Philadelphia.
Blue-collar city can't amount to the refinery that is cocaine.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
We have to smoke that shit.
This is...
Fine,
this is the bigotry of every other major northeastern city
against
Philadelphia.
I was going to say, you guys sound really hateful right now.
Yeah.
Like, I want to
picture... Oh, no, I'm drinking it up. You guys can spew all your hate you want. This is just making me
feel even better. We want a championship!
Yeah.
He's about to tear the studio
apart.
Yeah,
going back to the whole point, at least they beat the Patriots, right?
Yeah, at least
there's happiness in that.
There's happiness
in
beating
for everyone.
Patriots.
Everything
can
I wanted
tell you
to
what?
Be.
I hate the Patriots just as much as you do.
Yeah, you were raised right.
When we were playing, when the Giants were playing the Patriots in the two Super Bowls that they faced off. I was rooting for the Giants both times. I can't say that if it would be the same situation if the Cowboys were in there, but Giants, I was more than less perfectly fine.
I would root for the Pats over the Cowboys.
Oh, really?
I'd root for everyone to break their ankles.
Simultaneously,
and then the Super Bowl is canceled and everybody loses.
Like a stadium implosion, yeah. Like that third.
Nobody dies.
Where
but
Hines
like,
Ward is just like, where'd my team go? They're dead. The bowels.
Everybody goes home with like sports blue balls, that kind of thing.
Oh, see, that's where you're not going far enough. I do want the death. I want those teams gone. We are Marshall situation for everyone involved.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to figure out when exactly it is I lost my mind hating them, the Patriots, where it just became everything to me. Because I swear to Christ,
it was before last year's Super Bowl when they came back against Atlanta. It was before that.
Seattle Super Bowl.
For some reason, though, I was laughing my ass off. Like, I was rooting for the Pats over Seattle. I regret that wholeheartedly now. Like, I look back at that, and that's like me listening to Limp Bizkit wearing JNCO. You know what I mean?
Well, you really hate Seattle. We talked about
this. I very much hate Seattle, but if I could go back, I'd root for Seattle over the Pats both times.
Sure. With knowing the end of that game?
Yeah, knowing the end.
Okay, so it was after, what, that was 2012?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, once people were just unquestionably, like, filleting Brady over Peyton effing Manning. Like, that's when I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that is nonsense.
I mean, Brady has the postseason statistics. Like, Manning is the greatest regular season quarterback, but
what counts is that the Patriots have always had a better defense, and so they always get home field advantage.
That
whereas,
and the better coaching.
Yeah, no, it's just like you can't credit that to Brady.
Any quarterback that could have landed with Bill Belichick, like that's any 100%. Potential, would have five Super Bowls.
I'm sorry, all I can ever point to is Matt Castle stepping in like halfway through game one, week one. That team goes 11-5, is one of like five 11-5 teams ever to miss the postseason.
That's the year that Brady tears his ACL.
Yes,
correct?
Against the Ravens, and that. It's just, do you know what Castle has done since? Dick all.
Squat.
Do you know when Brady had his 4-game suspension last year? They go 3-1. They're down to like Jacoby Brissett for like game number 4.
Garoppolo hurts his hand and Jacoby Brissett still pulls off a 1-1 record.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you don't look at that, like that is more than anything why I wanted Brady to get cut by Bill Belichick, just keyhauled, shoved over the side of the pirate ship. They put in Garoppolo, and they don't miss a beat. Because I don't believe that man's, like, nearly as good as everyone says.
Because, I mean, so, I looked at the stats. I'm not going to say that Peyton's better than Brady or Brady's better than Peyton. What I will say is that every time they met in the AFC Championship game, the home team won. I mean, that's just how it happens. So, like, how do you get home field advantage?
Do you still feel that sort of hate if you saw Tom Brady wearing a different jersey next year?
He's going to be terrible wherever he goes because he's not going to be able to have the same benefit that he had in New England. And unfortunately, Bob Kraft ruined it by trading Garoppolo away.
Yeah.
I mean, it really should have been Garoppolo's team. And
it should have been Brady to San Francisco. Because I can say that.
They'd be so
correctly.
Terrible. He'd just be so bad.
I want that so badly to see him go somewhere else, but the problem is he's already too old. He'll go elsewhere and then just gets to cop age.
But let's not pretend.
No, I think Brady retires before he switches teams.
I don't want it to sound like we all hate Tom Brady. I feel like...
Oh, I do.
Why are you a
really?
Foe of accuracy?
No, but I'm saying if he invited you over to watch him have sex with his wife, would you say no?
Can I shake his hand afterward?
Yeah.
Or, like, if his wife comes first, is he just going to, like, storm out of the bedroom
filming?
Because he's
I mean,
too
yeah,
upset?
There's a lot of variables here. Like,
I'd watch you bang your wife, Howard. I'm easily entertained.
Where am I standing? Are my hands free?
Like, can I keep my pants on?
Yeah. It's whatever you want. Tom's a very liberal man with his friends. So.
I know. I'd watch it in a heartbeat, sure.
Yeah.
There
you go.
Like that.
Yeah.
So you can't totally hate on the guy.
Is that the standard? Because I'd watch Trump bang Melania. Doesn't mean
really.
I'm like, why not?
Wow.
Why wouldn't you get to see some?
I think that's more or less like a
at least it'd be
morbid
over quickly
sideshow.
Yeah.
Be like, I can add my, or I can pay $10 to see $1 million.
Don't
or,
you want your mind yeah. enriched with these images?
Ew, no.
Why are you afraid
no.
to play?
John, I'm with you.
No.
I watch it.
Yeah.
No, I totally
Guys,
watch it too.
Expand your mind.
Yeah, it's like watching
Quaid's,
two
geez.
Girls,
yeah.
one cup one time.
Exactly.
The first time. You only need That's to fair. See it once.
Or being the cup. You know, just yeah. say
or
yes to
being
life.
The cup.
Sometimes you're the cup.
Say yes to life. And that's really what I was moved personally by that Super Bowl. Like, not just the Brady losing, but the positives in it. Like, I don't want this entire, like, 40 minutes we've done so far dedicated to Tom Brady losing to come off like that's where my heart is. Because you know what I truly love? I liked seeing Peterson coach, like, his asshole was so loose it took a Louisville slugger and didn't shave the sides. Like, he didn't play tight ass whatsoever.
No, he's great.
The
playing with house money, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Everyone does that when they run up on the Pats. Everyone gets conservative as hell. Just look at that Jags game 2 weeks ago. They go up 14-0 on the Pats and act like they were predetermined by God to win that game and merely had to then hold on another, like, 45 minutes. And you know what?
Yeah.
They deservedly lost.
It was amazing. It was like, fourth down? Yeah, we're going for it. Whatever.
Yeah, trick play called the Philly special.
Oh,
Nick
God,
Foles
how gorgeous
called it,
was
too.
That?
Yes, Nick Foles called it.
Peterson was, like, had the recognition to be like, oh, my player's really hot. So he took the 2 seconds you can see in the video for him to think about it.
There's great footage of it.
And
yeah.
he's just like, yeah, let's do it. Go right ahead, Nick.
There's footage of Nick Foles telling Peterson they're going to run the Philly special, that play where he throws it, what, to like the tight end or something, who then throws the ball to him.
He hands it off, and then
he
the
doesn't
receiver.
Even touch yeah. the ball yeah. until he catches it.
Yeah. And the guy has balls like watermelon. It's not just Peterson. It's not just Peterson and his gutsy play calling that moved me. It's that Nick Foles was cast away after having some success under Chip Kelly. He then goes to the Rams, where Jeff Fisher, who has, in retrospect, murdered how many careers?
Right.
Now that we get to see the talent, the Case Keenums, the Nick Foles that have come out of this man's mediocrity and flourished elsewhere, how much has he held down? How much beauty has he killed in this world? He's like a Captain Planet villain. He's just done horrible things. But what I was really moved by is this dude who everyone in the league was so quick to point out as a mediocrity, after bouncing around, after really contemplating retirement, gets this one great opportunity and balls the F out, beats the quote-unquote GOAT, the greatest of all time. Like, let's be honest. I'm sorry, had a better performance than Brady in that game. Kiss my ass if you think otherwise.
Brady definitely dropped the pass that his receiver threw to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that yeah. Foles then says, oh, this is how you do it, little
Foles,
bitch.
Foles can catch.
I think it was meant to intimidate. I think it was a way to get into Brady's head. It's like, oh, I saw you are too unathletic to catch a football.
Yeah.
Let me show you how it's done. I do think that was part of the calculus there.
And it worked.
Yeah.
I do understand some arguments that you hear from other people, though. Like, it's Tom Brady and you had the ball thrown to you. You're in the Super Bowl. How do you not lay the fuck out to catch that ball?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It just really, and you could tell, didn't truly care. Didn't give
no,
me a Brady-esque, like, mouth
had that,
F-ball.
This is a throwaway
had that
play.
Classic yeah. Brady eye roll, and it's be like, well, at least I'm still getting beaches from Giselle.
Exactly. My, who looks, let's be honest, like the sexiest trans woman alive. But that's really what Giselle is. I'm sorry. I know this is fat guy bad-mouthing a supermodel here, and I'm doing it in a heartbeat. But as far as supermodels go, give me some Kate Upton. Give me some titty meat. That's all I'm saying. give me some titty meat. That's
I'm a Cara Delevingne.
But, who? Ooh. Eyebrows?
Agreed.
Yeah. I'm so down
is
with
that
them.
A supermodel or is she an actress? I don't know.
Both, I guess.
Yes.
All right. Exactly. Sure. So.
Please.
A dude I somehow follows me on Twitter. I follow him back. ESPN writer. Genius. Don Van Natta Jr. Don put up a caption to a picture of Fisher with Foles, and it really, I know it was a joke, but he wrote, don't let the Jeff Fishers of this world keep you from reaching your dreams, or something to that.
Wow.
Effect. And you know what? He's goddamn right. I know it's a joke, but he's goddamn right. Don't ever, if you have a dream, don't ever think that you can't, well, this part doesn't sound inspiring. You can be held down by people not recognizing your greatness.
You hear that, Pete?
What am I supposed to do?
I'm literally just saying this.
You're so much more than this podcast.
You are, exactly.
Who's your Jeff Fisher, John?
Who's my Jeff Fisher?
Yeah.
I don't know, probably the Almighty himself. If I had to, I don't think I have a Jeff Fisher.
He's Greek. He'll do fine.
There you go. I don't have a Jeff Fisher in particular. I simply found that a very profound insight that there are, you know who had a Jeff Fisher? John Mahoney, a.k.a. Frasier's dad. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. This is a piss poor segue. I don't care. John Mahoney died this week at age 77. Do you know, again, this is an inspirational. Do you know when he got into acting?
I know.
Damn it. Why are you going to? Because it's what the age going to be in a couple weeks.
But I don't think anybody does. And that's amazing.
He did not act whatsoever prior to being the age that you were about to reach, which.
Yeah. He like starts at this age, this advanced age.
What age do you tell your listeners you are? Since we are roughly the same, I should maintain.
Maintain kayfabe? No, I'm very honest about my age. I will be 37 in like 2 weeks.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, 37. John Mahoney starts acting at 37. He gets to be Frasier's dad.
At least you were
37. Let's be honest. He gets to be Frasier's dad at... That would put him like early 50s, I think. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's production right. Hey, baby, I hear the music calling. Toss. I can do this. Are you listening? Oh, he's finally listening to the song. He's putting his cans on. I'm a radio guy. I call them cans instead of headphones.
Nice.
God, there's nothing worse. Sorry, I just wanted to sing over that, but I can't. Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Pete's chewing gum into a mic.
You can't.
Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused, but that doesn't work without the bass line underneath it. I tried to do the instrumental, but I couldn't find one. But that's moving to me, dude. A guy being that good. And Howard, you wanted to call me out to be like, do you know him as anything else? Anything other than Frasier's dad?
Yeah, because I'm trying to...
I'll give you one. I'll give you a big one. He was in Moonstruck.
There you go. Good for you.
He was in Moonstruck. He plays a professor who bangs his students. And then in maybe the most unbelievable part of the movie, he tries to bang Cher's mom. Even though we've just established this man is crushing 25-year-old Kitty.
She must have had better hair than Cher then.
No, man. She had that like Estelle Getty cotton candy old bitch hair. Like it was pretty.
Isn't Cher bald?
Cher?
Yeah.
Not in that. I don't know Cher. I mean, maybe Cher is bald in real life. Like, oh, okay. She's got the Howard Stern wig or whatever. But no, she has lots of hair in that movie. A movie I might add features Nick Cage before he just went off the rails. Like, back when it was still charming that he was Nick Cage. A young Nick Cage. A not national treasured Nick Cage. Or especially that Bad Lieutenant Port of Call New Orleans era Nick Cage where he's truly lost it. A young, virile Nick Cage. But John Mahoney has a great scene in that. And I'll be honest, John Mahoney and Frasier, like, probably the best part of Frasier. Oh, one of the guys is giving us the eye already that we need to... It's 9:33, buddy. Give us an extra 15 minutes.
Maybe he wants you to get back to work.
This is work. This is work.
Quality control.
He's helping out. He's helping produce the show, man.
We need supervision.
Sam, if you need to roll, we're, I guess, done-ish with the football crap. But I wanted to put that out there, man. That like, A, F Tom Brady. B, his world-renowned for her sexiness wife. Like, kind of looks like a little like a sexy dude. Very sexy dude. But, like, you know that kind of Ruby Rose thing where Ruby Rose tells a story where a Japanese man came up to her one time and was like, you're either a very handsome boy or a very beautiful girl. That's how I feel about Giselle. Like, you're either a handsome Dickens or sure, I'd bang you.
It's funny. She's just one of the supermodels that you can think of. I just don't have a mental
picture
of her.
I'm not 10. I don't know supermodels anymore. I used to know my Kathy Ireland's and my Cindy Crawford's and my... I ran out there. Mm-hmm. I used to have a memory, too. But I don't keep track of supermodels. There's now girls on Bang Brothers. Why do I need to know supermodels? Well, Sam.
John.
It's been real, sir.
Yes, sir. Anybody listening? I don't have any social media, so goodbye.
You have nothing to plug. I'm just letting you
farewell.
Run to your dude so you don't get fired.
Oh, dang it. Dang
I'll
it.
I'll tell you the one role I remember John Mahoney from.
Hold on.
That I remember.
I'm waiting.
All right. Oh, I get to say it. We're not plugging something else in the mid. Okay.
No, no. I'm just letting Sam roll, and then we'll do another 10 and then get the hell out ourselves.
Okay. I will tell you that one of my favorite movies of all time is Eight Men Out.
Eight Men Out. Okay.
That... Where the Chicago Black Sox scandal, where Shoeless Joe Jackson and seven other players get thrown out of the majors.
Who else is in that? Who's the big? Is that Leota?
Charlie Sheen is in there.
Charlie Sheen. Okay.
And I believe John Mahoney played the manager.
Really?
Yeah. So that's just a very important... It was... what's his name? The guy from The Cutting Edge.
Oh, God. You're going 80s deep on, and you're shaming me.
Everybody remembers that movie. Was it D.B. Sweeney? Is that his name? It's not... D.B. Cooper's the bank robber, right?
Yes, yes.
All right.
D.B.
Cooper. I think it's D.B. Sweeney is his name.
I don't know.
He
that.
Played Shoeless Joe Jackson, who was illiterate and couldn't sign his own name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those movies that I think tells the story
of
America.
Why am I laughing at his illiteracy? Like, he's so stupid he couldn't read. I'm like, tell another one, Howard.
Oh my gosh. You've never met someone who was illiterate?
Was he incapable of multiplication as well? Ho, ho, ho. No, I've never met... Okay, look. If I have ever met an illiterate, they have not fessed up to it because I would never let them live it down. Like, I would drink with them and just be like, hey, read this. You can't.
No, like, my first month in legal aid, like, this dude showed up. This is, like, how I learned that I had no idea what I was getting into, but I was living in the hood in Roanoke. They just stuck me in this house, and they're like, yeah, just see what comes in. This guy shows up, and I'm like, hey, what's your problem?
I'm sorry, I picture a house in Roanoke, and what comes in is raccoons and poppies.
No, this guy showed up, and he's like, yeah, could you read this to me?
Oh.
So I just had to read him a letter. He didn't need, like, legal advice. He was just like, I can't read. I figured I'd come here because, like...
It's just his cable bill.
He's like... Most people in the community were just like, I mean, at least you're not white. You seem like you'd be an alright guy to have read something to me, so...
I don't trust white people reading to me. They're
more than a couple
lot,
people
dude.
Said that to me. It's like, well, at least you're not white.
Damn.
Wow. That's amazing. Did you own up to your half-whiteness, or you're like, nope, I'm Puerto Rican?
Do you understand what happens to half-white, half-black people in the South? They're just black. So when they talked to me, they were like, well, you're half something that ain't white, so that's good enough for me.
Nice.
That was how it works in the South. That's what life in the South is like. If you're half white, half black, you're using the colored fountain. That's just how it works. All right? Like,
I think even at a quarter, right? Unless you could pass, you're probably forced to use it.
Have you ever heard of the case Plessy versus Ferguson? Do you guys know what that is?
I know the name.
It's the one that Brown versus Board overturned. Yeah. So everybody's like, Brown versus Board, integrated, desegregated schools, right?
So
at least in the South.
Plessy was the good one then. No, sorry.
No, like... Yeah, I went to law school. We had to read the Plessy case. And then if you, like, read the facts, this is, like, 1896. You're on a... You got this one-eighth black guy on a white train car in Louisiana. And
who
someone,
did he think he was?
Someone on the train car recognized, like, that guy is part black.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to talk to the porter to have him removed.
Oh, God.
So you had this guy who was, like, seven-eighths black who had to sit in the black car. And obviously he was pissed and he was like, I'm going to take you to court. Because I don't want to sit in the black car either. And that's a major court case in American history.
That's
just
incredible.
Like the guy who was 7/8 black being pissed that he had to sit with, like, full black people.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You mean 7/8 white.
Yeah, the guy who's 7/8 white being pissed that he had to sit in the car with, like, people who are fully black when he should have been, like, in the nice car with all the white people.
Yeah.
Till somebody
He's
who
like,
apparently...
I like champagne.
Yeah. Somebody apparently got upset he was in there.
Oh, God. Jigging it up. Wow.
America.
Wow.
So that's when Trump makes it great again, that's what we're talking about.
The racial crap in our past is just like, I know there's the over the top horrible like lynchings and the little thing called slavery, but it's that those weird corner cases that blow my mind. Like that Sally Hemings that Thomas Jefferson used to put stones to several hundred years ago. She was like
A quarter, right?
Yes, yeah. A quarter black. And, like, I've seen, I guess, artist renditions or whatever. Someone did her portraiture at the time. Looks like an Italian broad. You know what I mean? Just looks like Sharon Moonstruck. White girl with crazy hair. That's it. That's it.
But she was a slave.
She was a slave, and I believe the kids were born into servitude. Like, the kids could have been like Hitler's wet dream at that point. Like, blonde and blue without missing a beat. Mm-hmm. 7/8 white. And instead, they had to, like, abscond to the north and just marry into white society. Like, that's how screwed up it was. I love my standard. Like, it's fine if they looked black, but God, when you can pass as white, that's despicable.
Then that's when you do it.
Well, good thing the Supreme Court ended racism in America in 1955. So, thank
via,
you.
Via Brown.
It's over.
That's kind of, I feel like,
nice.
I guess we don't want to talk politics on this show normally, but I just feel like for how a lot of people look at America today on the right, they're just like, well, racism ended in 1955. It's all good now.
Well, I remember our beloved...
We're now all now equal.
Anthony Kumia of Opie and Anthony fame, who has dubious racial perspectives. And I believe the night of Obama's reelection, or no, it was the next day, he came in the studio and he's just like, I officially want to hear nothing ever about racism in this country again. The country's officially not racist.
And there like, you go.
Think it works that way. But,
yeah.
All right, you know.
My God.
They did let an Italian have that job, so okay. Maybe there's something to it. Sorry.
You lost John Mahoney. Did you want to get back to him? I'm sorry.
No, John Mahoney, the last thing I wanted to mention actually is a brother who has seen it all and has seen racism in his day. Quincy Jones.
All right.
Dropped
yeah,
an amazing Vulture interview. That sounds like it was a style of interview where he's like eating carrion. No, it was the Vulture website interviewed him, and he dropped some crazy stuff. Like, this really...
I haven't read it.
For a dude who hasn't produced crap in like 30 years, this kind of went viral. Like, everyone's like, the Quincy Jones Vulture interview. I was like,
one of my favorites was he pulled the reverse Sally Hemming and banged Ivanka Trump, right?
He says, so among the bombshells he drops, he said he went out on a date with Ivanka. I don't think he said he closed the deal, but
doesn't
he
seem
said...
hard.
He's a gentleman.
Yeah.
Yes. Let me... Hold on. I wanted to... That's cool. Browser, you just kill everything. I was just trying to control F.
I mean, there's like the one bombshell. Pete, you don't know anything about this
I don't
interview?
Know anything about it except for like the parodies.
You're
going to
love.
He says...
You're going to love...
And I'm hoping they're not parodies.
Okay, so he's been asked by the interviewer, if there's one problem in this country you could snap your fingers and fix it, what would it be? He says, racism. Interviewer then, after Quincy's reply, says, what stirred it up? Is it all about Trumpism? He says, it's Trump and uneducated rednecks, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes into, I can't stand him. I used to date Ivanka, you know. Interviewer goes, wait, really? Yes, sir. 12 years ago, Tommy Hilfiger, who was working with my daughter, Kandata, said, Ivanka wants to have dinner with you. I said, no problem. She's a fine mother effer. She had the most beautiful legs I ever saw in my life. Wrong father, though. And that was the extent of it. But he said some other crap that really made some waves.
The big one that I heard was about Richard Pryor, which Richard Pryor's widow confirmed it to be true.
This was the crazy...
I'm listening.
Okay. Okay, so in response, okay, you're talking about business, not music, but I mean this respectfully. Don't some of your thoughts about music fall under the category of back in my day? Because he spent the better half of the interview just saying he only respects jazz musicians deep down because they're trained and they have a hunger to increase the breadth of their musical knowledge. No one does that anymore, which is 100% true.
Yeah.
Like, a true man of knowledge has to be disgusted by 98% of the music out there.
Sure.
But it goes back to Michael Jackson, even, for him. Like, he hated Michael Jackson in ways.
Yes. He starts the interview. Great interview. Again, please look it up, guys. Starts the interview bitching about stuff that MJ did with him. He then gets onto the topic of the cha-cha. And then says, Marlon Brando used to go cha-cha dancing with us. He could dance his ass off. He was the most charming mother effer you ever met. He'd F anything. Anything. He'd F a mailbox. James Baldwin. Richard Pryor. Marvin Gaye. So at first you're like, is he talking about other cocksmen?
Are those things he's plunged?
Exactly. Interviewer, he slept with him? How do you know that? Quincy Jones frowns. Come on, man. He did not give an F. you like Brazilian music? Like, that's why this interview started. Like, his mind is ping-ponging around. Like, he's either senile or a genius, or he's at that sweet spot where it's kind of one meshing into the other. So people, what's really funny to me, online, everyone's losing their minds even before the widow comes out and pretty much confirms it and says, like, yeah.
Like, he was never in the closet about being bi, is what she said about Richard Pryor.
That's what she said, but it was so funny to me that, like, no one cared that Marvin Gaye apparently took a piping, or this James Baldwin character. Like, that's fine, that's all well and good, but Richard Pryor, the super N-bomb, the bicentennial N-bomb? These are album titles, not me just saying horrible things. That's the one. The toy took a dick?
Although it is a great it is a great sentence in the English language to say that Marvin Gaye was bi. That is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you hear that falsetto. That comes from taking some jizz. Yeah. But
hey, man, can I bring my daughter in?
Sure, you can bring a kid. What do I care? I mean, the show's about to end. Do you want her to be on the show, or do you want me to just
end it?
And we can just end the damn show then. We'll do the daughter.
Do the introductions. You guys haven't met my kid yet.
Okay, cool. Let's do a proper one. So I'm going to do a little outro music. So we're going to see your daughter, Josie, right?
Yes.
Josie's on a vacation. All right, I'll stop right there. Fine song. Everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for making it this far. Subscribe to Papa's Basement. If you can do one thing to help us out, man, go to youtube.com/Papa's Basement. Subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. The YouTube will send you an email anytime we go live, so you're not going to miss anything. If the video is not so much your cup of tea, iTunes subscription, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, Pete? Just look up iTunes Papa's Basement.
Yeah, Google, and if you haven't already, do a rate and review, you know? If you guys are longtime listeners, just take, 5 seconds, give us 5 stars.
To be fair,
rate us
the
on
interface
hotness.
Sucks. It'll take like 47 minutes, but it's worth it. We'll love you for it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I really wasn't selling that. It's not that difficult.
Yeah.
Again, I'm Papa... John Papa, Papa's Basement, whatever you want to call me, at Papa's Basement on Twitter and on Instagram. Pete, how are you?
I'm Pete Maybe on Twitter. That's mostly where you're going to find me. Go to the website. Yeah, check out our YouTube. And then John's Instagram, too.
Yeah.
Lots of cats.
And I'm just at Basement Howard along for the ride these days, but stay tuned for Sportscast. I'm probably launching in April.
I will be linking to Howard's MP3 when we put up this episode. He did a great... I was sitting in the I don't want to say the court appointed shrink's office, just like a public shrink in Fairfax. I should have told this story, but I was listening in the lobby, and then I got to meet with someone, and the questions were incredible. They were like, how long did it take you to complete this survey? And I was like, 1 minute. Like, I'm feeling like kind of a genius. She starts asking me questions. She's like, do you have problems bathing yourself? I'm like, no, I got that going on pretty well. She's like, do you feed yourself? I'm like, look at me, lady. I do with a plump. She's like, do you hear voices? I'm like, this is getting a little weird. No, I do not. She then reveals that this is more for schizophrenics who are needing to be integrated back into society. She's like, well and good, you have depression, but by our standards, you're doing great for yourself. And
oh,
I'm like, I should take pride in this. I feel all right now. You know, this life ain't bad. All right, till the next one.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
He said penis.
Yeah. He said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.